The future of this congregation depends on one person. And who is that one person? It's you. You are the one person that is going to determine the future of this congregation. That's what I want us to look at this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to join in welcoming everybody that is here. We've got a good number out this morning, had a good Bible study. Looking forward to a good worship service and a good week. We've just got to remember we're children of the King. And as we talked about in class, we're often frustrated and confused because we don't know how to solve something. And Christ has all the answers. God has all the answers. And whatever we are going through, whatever we are faced with, we need to turn to God. As Brother Code just read, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. With this being the Sunday before our meeting, I thought it would be good to focus on some things, just some reminders. This lesson is more of what I would consider a family talk, but we're going to have it this morning. And we're going to look at what our congregation needs. What does it need? And there are quite a few things listed on there if you looked at one of the bulletins. And I am not saying that we don't have these things, but we need them and we need more of them. There are two things on there that we don't have, and those two things we need. But let's consider what our congregation needs. In this cartoon, there is a common worldly kind of Christianity in this day, which many have and they think have enough. A cheap Christianity which offends nobody and requires no sacrifice, which costs nothing and is worth nothing. That's the common religion out there. It doesn't cost anything, doesn't require anything. That's what most people have, and they are happy to have that. But friends, we cannot accept that. And the church is under attack. We see that more and more every day. This is something I got some correspondence. This is from a legal organization. They're trying to sell their services. I found this very interesting, though. I assume that those who cling to old beliefs will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes. But if they repeat those views in public, they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools. That's what we see going on today. When was that written? 2015 by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. He was dissenting to the case that was under consideration at the time for same-sex marriage. He's saying he didn't agree with that. And he's saying pretty soon we're only going to be able to practice our beliefs and whisper at home about them. And if we take them out in the public, we're going to be in trouble. And we see how far things have changed in just 5 years. Friends, our congregation needs some things. Every congregation needs some things. And the first one I want us to consider, our congregation needs more praying. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, we have a good praying congregation here. Everybody prays for everybody. People that somebody knows, we add them to the list, we pray for them. Friends, prayer is one of the most important things that we need to survive spiritually, to talk to God. We cannot pray too much. We need to be praying every day for everybody. And we have the list. I don't put a new one out every week, but I keep a number of them on the back. If you pick one up, if there's a change, just go ahead and make the change on there. Something else you want to pray about individually, put it on there. But don't just stop with that list. There are so many things for the work of the church, for individual souls, for lost souls that we know. We need to pray more. Our congregation needs to pray more. And who needs to pray more? You need to pray more. I need to pray more. The future of this congregation depends on you. It depends on me. Well, another need that we have here, we need more members. We need more members. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. How many more people do we need? It's like I've said before, we look for that one honest heart. And when we find that one, then we look for another one. We look for them one at a time. If we set a number up here, a goal, we need this many new members, we might get them and then they might leave. We look for one honest heart at a time. And God expects the church to grow. We need to be baptizing more people. Maybe I don't talk about that enough. All of us need to be talking about that. And just to clarify things, if there's anybody here this morning that wants to be baptized, we have everything that is needed to do that. The baptistry is ready. It's got warm water. There are clothes. There's nothing stopping anybody from removing those sins and having the peace of mind and the forgiveness of sins and being called a child of Christ. We need to be doing more of that. And it's not something, I think sometimes some people have the idea that's the preacher's role, and they kind of make it like a denominational pastor. Well, we'll get the preacher to baptize you. And I was talking to someone here and asked him if he'd ever baptized anybody, and he said no. And I said, would you like to? And not to force it on him, but I said, one of the greatest things, greatest feelings you'll ever have is to baptize somebody. And once you baptize somebody, you know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to baptize somebody else. And within a few days of that, I was having a conversation with somebody at another congregation, and I told him what I said, and he said, why? And I said, a preacher told me one time, you know, when someone wants to be baptized, you can do it, or it's good to let somebody else baptize them, because that'll put a fire in their heart where they want to baptize people. And I asked the individual, I said, just stop and think of all the people that were baptized at the congregation you're a member at. Just think if there were a dozen people, if 12 different men baptized those, you'd have 12 men on fire wanting to baptize somebody else. If a preacher does it all the time, then they just think, well, that's the preacher's job. And I enjoy that. This is a little bit off the subject, but we need to be baptizing people. We need to be getting across to people the need for having their sins forgiven. Again, there are people baptized, like the first slide we looked at. They say, well, I've been baptized in this church. Well, if it's not by the right authority, you don't have the authority to have your sins forgiven. We need more members. We need more giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why do we need more giving? To do the Lord's work. There are a lot of things that we are not doing because we don't have the resources to do. Now, I do want to add, I feel very blessed here that when this church has had a need, and since the time I've been here, I've seen the bank account like this, up and down and up and down, but somehow God always supplies what we need. He always supplies what we need. But we need to be spending more in reaching lost people. We need to be spending more not to make the place look pretty, and it's nice any improvements that we can do, but again, the priority is people's souls. And you might be saying, well, I'm giving everything that I can. I'm not going to question that. If we go back to the one before this, one of the ways we can increase our contribution is to get more members. When we get more members, we have more contribution and we can do more of the Lord's work. We can do more of the Lord's work. And that's why we're in the vineyard of the Lord. That's what we signed up for. Well, what does our congregation need? It needs more fellowship. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. What is fellowship? You see some churches have their fellowship hall, their dining hall. Some places, some denominations, as they build new buildings, they don't have pews in them. They have like theater seating, chairs or sections of them. And why is that? So they can move those chairs aside and do whatever they want to. Play basketball, play this, play that, bring in tables, eat. Is that fellowship? That's not biblical fellowship. The fellowship we read about in the New Testament is a sharing in common with spiritual things. That's the fellowship we want to have, sharing in spiritual things. Do we have a fellowship hall? If you want to call this, because we're sharing in spiritual things, but we don't have what the world calls a fellowship hall. Why do we need fellowship? It'll build us up. It'll make us stronger. It will protect us against Satan. It will equip us to keep ourselves pure and unspotted from the world. It will encourage us to go out and share God's word with someone else. What does our congregation need? We need more humility. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." What is humility? That's lowness of mind. Again, all of these things that I'm mentioning, I believe we have. We just need to understand how blessed we are to be a member of the Lord's church, and we need to increase everything that we have to serve God. When I was in my 20s, and just to make a comparison, when I was in my 20s, there is a sister at a congregation, and her husband worked at one of the factories in Dayton, and she called me and she said, "Bruce," she said, "you know, they're hiring at such and such, and they told the employees, if you know somebody, we can get you on and you can work there." And she said, "It's really good money. It's really good benefits." And I said, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not interested in that." You think about going to work for a worldly physical company. Then you think about the church, the organization of the church. And it's compared to a vineyard because he expects us to work. If we expect to get paid, he's going to expect us to work. We work in the vineyard. And what have we seen in the history of the church? And we were talking about it just a little bit this morning from back in the 50s, the issues of the 50s. And what happened where the church was splintered, it was divided. And what's one of the reasons because of that? There was a lack of humility. A lack of humility. People took a stand. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm going to have my way. And the church splintered and was divided. And friends, you know, you can't, I don't know how to say this, you can't have too much humility. If somebody says they're very humble, they aren't humble. And you know, you can recognize humility in somebody, and you can recognize the absence of it. And this church, we've got humble people here. We have humility. Again, can we have too much humility? We can't have too much humility. And the world needs, how are they going to learn humility? The world needs humility. They're going to learn it from us. So we need more humility. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We don't lift ourselves up. We humble ourselves, and the Lord will lift us up. Well, what do we need? We need more workers. 1 Corinthians 5:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our congregation needs more workers. And again, our congregation, like many, you see the aging effect where a lot of members are getting older. Does that mean you stop working? No, not at all. You can pray, you can send out letters, you can make phone calls. There's all kinds of work like that you can be doing. But we need younger people too. We need younger workers. We need more workers, again, to keep the church going into the future. I need to be a worker. The future of the church depends on you. It depends on me. And you think of any of these items that we're looking at so far, praying, more members, giving, fellowship, humility, workers, you think of any of those. If I was the standard of that for this congregation, where would the church be? You know, we all want to have that high standard because we aren't working for some factory here in town. We're working for the Lord Jehovah, the one that created the heaven and the earth. We're his servants. We're his servants, and we're his servants by his grace and mercy. We don't even deserve to be his servants. And we need to be working. And I love this verse, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many of us have had a job? They would work you to death. They didn't care a thing about you. They would use you, get rid of you. And what did you gain from that? Just headaches and took so many years off of your life. Friends, no matter what we do in working in the vineyard, no matter what we do for the Lord is going to be in vain. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The smallest thing you do is not in vain. The biggest thing you do, everything that we do working for the Lord is not in vain. So we shouldn't think that there are any little jobs or big jobs in the church. Everything is for the Lord and for his glory. I like this picture of these men, and I'm not quite sure what they're going to do, but I know they are suited, they are equipped to do some kind of work. They have got some kind of contraptions on their boots. I don't know if they're going to climb trees. They've got some belts and ropes and some different things. The one person has an axe. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're dressed to work. So the question falls on us. Are we dressed to work? Am I talking about putting on clothes like this? No. I'm talking about what do we adorn ourselves with? What do we adorn our lives with so that we are able to do the work? We must prepare to do the work. Whatever the job is, if someone is a mechanic, a doctor, a teacher, anything that they are, they prepare to do that job. We need to prepare ourselves to do the work. We need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. What else does our congregation need? It needs more faithfulness. Again, we've got a very faithful congregation here. I would hold this congregation up to any congregation in the area. If we have X number here Sunday morning, we're probably going to have the same number here Sunday evening, or even more. We are a very faithful congregation. We need more faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, you want to know one of the reasons why there's so many problems in the church today? Because a generation ago, my father's generation, my generation, faithful men have not committed to younger men the truth, the things that should be taught. They may have told them some of the truth, but here Paul writing to Timothy, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And if we don't do that, what happens? Then people in the church don't know the right from the left. They don't know up from down. They think anything goes. Well, I think this is what we should do. I feel this way about that. They've gotten away from a thus saith the Lord, putting their finger on the scripture, going by the authority. And the only way that the church, the future of the church, is going to go on and bring glory to God is if this congregation has more faithfulness and commits faithful men, commit to more faithful men and teach them the truth. You stop teaching, you know, in the Old Testament, the principle was there. It's the same today. We're only one generation away from losing the church. We're only one generation away from people knowing the truth. How is that going to happen? If we stop teaching it. We've got to commit it to younger people. This congregation needs more studying. Acts 8:27, so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. What was this rich nobleman doing? He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Friends, we need to be studying more. One of the things that, for lack of a better word, bothers me is people in the brotherhood saying, you need to read this, you need to read this, you need to read that. And they don't get around to saying, you need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. That's fine to read all of those other things after you read the Bible. We need to study the Bible. It's like when you learn what a true dollar is and a counterfeit dollar, you study the true one. You study the true one, and then you can spot the fake ones. And I tell you, there are people picking up literature out there written by brothers and reading it and taking it for the gospel, and it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. We need to be doing more studying. What goes along with that? We need more teachers. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So these two go together. We need more studying. We need more teachers. And from a personal viewpoint, I love teaching. I love teaching. And the way I love to teach is not take something that somebody else has written and fill in the blank, because you can share information, but that doesn't mean you're learning. So I love teaching, so I spend a lot of time studying. But I tell you, I wouldn't mind if there were more teachers here. There needs to be more teachers here. If something happens to me and I fall over tomorrow, who are the men that are going to step up and teach? Who's going to do that? And again, not just in a public way, but teaching out in homes too. And you know, like I said, I love studying. I love teaching. And you know what my favorite type of Bible study is? And I know you know it. It's having one in somebody's house, sitting down across a table and studying with somebody. And that takes time too. We just need more teachers. Now, there's two different views on teaching people. And a lot of people, they don't want to teach because it takes time. It takes effort. And I'll study everything I can on a subject before class and feel like I haven't studied enough because there's something else out there to cover. But there's two different ways a lot of people teach. The first one is called fire hosing. And like if you're teaching the lost, and we've all seen this, somebody will see somebody and they say, you need to be baptized or you're going to hell. And that's like the first words out of their mouth. I've seen that. And when that happens, what does that person usually do? They're bad. They want to be baptized. And I've seen that. I saw somebody pressure somebody, and then he told me to baptize the individual. The gentleman was older, the brother, and then we never saw that person again, but he wasn't going to let him get out of the building till he was baptized. You get people wet, you don't really teach them. Then what have we been studying in Matthew about the parable of the sower? And it takes time to prepare the soil and to plant the seed and find that honest heart. That's why when we get back to Numbers, we're looking for one more honest heart. And again, it takes time, but if you're that seed that somebody's planted that seed in your heart, you don't need to wait till you're full grown and can do everything before you're baptized. You just need to repent of your sins. You need to make up in your mind you're going to stop living for yourself and live for Christ and be baptized. And never look back. Never look back. And God will bless you in so many ways, and it'll be the best decision you've ever made. Well, what do we need? We need more preachers. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We need more preachers. Why do we need more preachers? The world is lost in sin. It's lost in sin. We need more preachers here, more men preaching. And several preachers have told me the worst thing you can do in a small congregation is do just about everything, because they're going to want you to do about everything. And then I do a disservice to you because you aren't developing your talents. All the men need to be developing talents. I have scheduled next month a trip to one of the places that supports me. I hope they still ask me to come. I look for opportunities to go out. If any place will invite me to come and speak, I want to go. That's a big shot in the arm to a preacher to go somewhere and be encouraged. Not that you don't encourage me, but again, unless you've done it, I just can't get across to you how edifying it is to go to a group of people you haven't seen, and they invite you in as family and come and say, this is where you're going to spend the night in this room, make yourself at home, and you stay up till you fall asleep talking to them about the Bible. I wish I could get out and do more of that. Those are things we need more of. Now, there are some things here that we don't need, we don't have, and we need. We need elders. Titus 1:5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. See, that's one of the things that's lacking here. This congregation has been in existence for many years. For whatever reason, it hasn't had elders. Does that mean we need to appoint elders today? We need to be praying that we have men that come into this congregation. We need to be praying for the future of this congregation. That's something else we can add to our prayer list. We're a praying congregation. We can pray that one day this congregation will have elders. Why? Because that's the way God organized the church. Philippians 1:1. The elders, the deacons, and the saints at Philippi. That's the organization right there all in one. We need deacons. 1 Timothy 3:8 through 12. Likewise, deacons. And he goes on to give the qualifications for that. Friends, we need more praying. We need more members. We need more giving. We need more fellowship. We need more humility, more workers, more faithfulness, more studying, more teachers, more preachers, more elders, more deacons. The future of this congregation depends on one person, and that one person is you. Now just think what a difference it would make in the Lord's church if everybody learned that lesson. And we need to think that on whatever the subject is. Just think what a difference in the Lord's church if just one more person learned that lesson. Friends, we've got a good congregation here. We don't want to settle for good enough. We're serving the Master. And as we've been studying the Psalms on Wednesday evening and think about that temple worship and everything that went on to worship the Most Holy God, we need to be doing everything that we can. Friends, we need back to praying and what this congregation needs. We need to be spreading the word and reaching the lost. And we have been so blessed this month with visitors. And as I showed the slide at the beginning, reaching people out in the community. And I just want to share this with you. Last week, I told you my nephew and his daughter was here, and I have been talking back and forth with her some, and like a lot of us, they are family that think they're saved. They're back to like that cartoon slide at the beginning. They think they have religion. They think it's good enough. And I shared some things with my great niece, for her to keep on looking at. But we were sending messages back and forth, and she said, she's talking about my brother. Do you know he gave me my first Bible? It was lost when I strayed from God, but when I gave my heart back to God and repented, the Bible found me again with his love letter to me inside. My mom gave it to me. She found it at my other nephew's all the way from Missouri. I cried my eyes out. God is so good. And this was, my brother had given her this Bible to my wonderful granddaughter and the date and some other things on there. There are people out there looking for the truth. What happens so many times, they settle for a counterfeit. We need to be praying. We all know people that are lost. We all know people that need the gospel. They're so close. They're so close. There's many things that this congregation needs to do. We need to keep our eyes out there on the fields. The harvest, the fields are white unto harvest. They're ready. We need to be doing God's will, lifting each other up, helping everybody every way we can. And hopefully we will all help each other to make it to heaven. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning and your life is not right with God, don't put off changing it. There's no better time than today. There's no better time than right now. Why don't you come? Why don't you come now as we stand and sing?